controller, Ursula Rudenberg at ursulaatpacifica.org. That's ursulaatpacifica.org. I'm Doug George of WBAI in New York City. See you next week on Sprouts.
And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, and you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM and freakradio.org, we have that much-beloved Bathrobe Spears broadside show with us. Special guest Jillian Greenside in the studio, possibly coming in, Linda LeMaster, former head of the Homeless Issues Task Force. Jillian, of course, has been head of the Commission of Prevention of Violence Against Women and numerous other groups concerned with dealing with sexual assault and violence against women. And then next hour we have Ocean Newman, who is a Berkeley attorney, freedom fighter, and a defender of civil rights for poor people. That's all coming up on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Stay tuned.
Got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job because of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout, we'll all feel better in the morning. Passionate conservative, my ass, and executions unsurpassed, surplus gone so fast, divided, not united. What's he wanna do now? What's he gonna try? Does he really think Armageddon is nigh? Does he care if children die? La 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 la. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout, we'll all feel better in the morning. Got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job because of his dad, now we're all in danger.
And that was an ancient number, well, not that ancient, not certainly as ancient as some of us in the studio. Yes, called Bad President by A.J. Yikes McGee. 2003, Election Day USA is the DVD, no, the CD that that's on. And as mentioned before, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz. We're broadcasting at 101.1 FM and streaming at freakradio.org. In the studio with me is the indomitable, but they're trying to dominate her, Jillian Greenside, who's struggling with papers, water jar, and clippings to get it all together. About a week ago, Jillian was on the air. I think it was a week ago, wasn't it, Jillian?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the issue of the Commission of Prevention of Violence Against Women / Public Safety Committee's Blue Ribbon report, concerned with the unusually, well, shocking statistics of a year ago that in 2003 and 2004, I believe it was,
mm-hmm. That's right.
Rapes, in this reported rapes in Santa Cruz, were four times the state rate, if you look at the uncorrected police stats, three times the police rate if you take the police department's minimization and corrections, and significantly more. I have the stats in front of me. I don't know right now what they are, than five other cities of a similar size and makeup, like what? Give us the cities. What were they?
Somewhat the same size, but definitely the same makeup, as you say. So there was Berkeley, San Luis Obispo, mm-hmm. Santa Barbara, San Diego, and Huntington Beach.
Now, Jillian, just to recap, you've been struggling to educate people on this issue and get a community response that responds to the plague of violence against 91% of the victims are women,
mm-hmm.
according to you, the CPVAW figures, which are, I guess, national figures, right?
Yes, that's national research.
I actually did my reading this time, or most of it, or some of it, actually. And our concern last time when we talked about this issue was the response. Well, I wouldn't even say the non-response of the police department, because the police department seemed to actively concern itself with heading off any direct normal response to these figures, which would be to, it might be any number of things, but it would certainly be to recognize that something seems to be unusually happening here, that there's four times or three times the rate as elsewhere, and moreover that in 20 years the reported rape rate has been increasing rather than decreasing, whereas in other cities it's been decreasing, right?
That's right, yes.
And so that must mean, I don't know, these calls the murder capital in the 70s. I don't know if we're the rape capital. I mean, you probably have you found any other cities where this is actually more intense?
No, I haven't.
And Baghdad, perhaps?
Oh, well, if we're talking around the world, yes. Any place in times of war has huge
Marine base,
rates of
I don't know.
Rape.
I don't want to attack our men in uniform and some of our women. Actually, I wouldn't mind, frankly, but that's another story. So, Jillian, you are a person with a history of studying this issue. You're currently employed up at UCSC as a...
I'm the head of rape prevention education up there, education and rape crisis counseling.
We talked a bit about how university authorities, actually you didn't really name the specific people, and although I'd like to name names on the show, and we'll probably press you to do that, have been trying to either get rid of you or sideline you, and that in fact you did. You were gotten rid of at the city level because mm-hmm. you were not reappointed, even though it's a kind of a pro forma deal. You're telling me that normally commission members are reappointed if they want to be reappointed, and three different council members, Rotkin, Matthews, and Robinson, refused to reappoint you.
That's right. The Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women is rather unique in that individual council members nominate, and then the whole council has to vote, of course, but it's not quite that same way. But yes, basically, it's very unusual to have somebody who's willing to serve for another 4 years and who's done a lot of work, has expertise, to not be reappointed.
And in fact, in 1987, you resigned from a similar body.
Same body.
Mm-hmm. Because they, at that time, did what?
It's chilling. It was exactly the same thing. I was less experienced then, but I looked at police reports for a two-year period and wrote a report documenting serious problems, lack of investigation, just to sum it up very briefly. Rape cases were not investigated, and wrote the report, presented it to council, and it was basically ignored. And so 20 years later, I'm doing the same thing, and this time...
Now, was there a change? Are rape cases... Has there been a change in the investigative procedures in the last 20 years so that now rape cases are investigated somewhat, or at least they say they are? What... I mean, has there been a change in that regard, in terms of your criticism in 1987?
I would say that there has been changes. We now have a sexual assault response team, so response to those who've been raped from all of the agencies that get involved. It's a coordinated response. I brought this concept to Santa Cruz way back, over 20 years ago, and it's now the model throughout the country. So things have improved, but if we look at the way rape cases are investigated by the police department, it is chillingly unchanged.
Give us an example of how a rape case is investigated by the police department. I'm a rape victim. I come to you, you're officer so-and-so. What happens to me?
Well, it depends if you call the police department, or you've gone to the hospital and they call the police department. So it's hard to overgeneralize, but basically an officer will respond and take a very brief
female
report.
Officer or male officer?
Well, it's over. There are very few female officers in the department.
How many are there in there?
I don't know. It looks just like a two or three from when I saw all the training.
I would say it's probably five or ten.
Maybe that. I wouldn't have thought ten. But anyway, I don't know the accurate
Sergeant
figure.
Sergeant McMahon, of course, Lieutenant Cipone. You have a couple of CSOs.
Well, CSOs are different, but you know, if you add them in,
maybe
it's
you're
different.
Right. There aren't that
sworn
many
sworn officers. There are very
many
few
that I recall,
and surprisingly, not many officers of color. I was surprised
two,
at that. Which, yes. Anyway, the point being that if an officer would respond, and it's whoever is on duty. We do not have a specialized sex crimes unit. And so the officer would take some brief notes.
So here I am. I've been raped.
Yes.
And I say, if I can, because, I mean, and usually are typically such reports happen immediately after the rape or many months after, many weeks, days. What's this?
We found in our research, and there's many themes in this, Robert, and one of them is we did research and it's ignored. Usually data is what people want to base decisions on.
Not
for
if it embarrasses
not
the
if it embarrasses. But anyway,
you don't want to do that.
So what we found was the good news is when people do report, mostly they're reporting it pretty quickly, within either a few hours or at most a day or two. Not every case, but mostly. So that's the good news. So the officer would take a few notes and then offer a forensic exam, which is free, and would transport you to Dominican Hospital or Watsonville Hospital. And that sets into motion a victim advocate from the Rape Crisis Center and a forensic nurse examiner.
Now, forensic, does this mean somebody is spreading your legs and examining you?
Oh, it's not a nice exam. It's about 3 hours long, and it's to collect evidence. So, you know, it's better than the bad old days where it would be an untrained medical personnel who might have attitudes of, you know, raised an eyebrow. So how much alcohol did you consume? That sort of
what
judgmental
question. What kind of
clothing question.
Were you wearing?
Yeah, those were the bad old days. So in that sense, there has been improvement. But what stands out like a sore thumb is that I don't feel that there has been significant improvement, if any, in the way the police department investigates. Now, investigation would follow on the initial
report. Right.
Following the report, you then investigate a crime.
An investigation of a typical crime, let's say an assault or a burglary, or let's say something serious like sleeping at night, you know, without a permit, you know. Actually, those don't get investigated. Those simply get sent to court to be found guilty.
Rape's a felony, so
a felony is more serious.
Like murder.
Let's say a felony like, oh, I don't know, a DA's engaging in drunk driving or something like that. That would be a felony too, right? Or would it? I guess drunk driving is a misdemeanor. I'm trying to... Or possibly a city council is refusing to follow the Brown Act. Now, that's a misdemeanor. No, all right, so
yes.
A normal investigation of an assault or a burglary, contrast that with an investigation of a rape by the Santa Cruz Police Department.
Well, I haven't looked at how they investigate other crimes, so I can't compare that.
Aha!
But I do know what an investigation should look like. Now, let's admit they're very difficult cases to investigate. That's why the practices... The standards have to be so high. We're starting with a very difficult crime. There's usually no witnesses, and if it's not a stranger, one person is saying she wanted it, and the other person is saying I was raped. So you have to have a fine-tuned, state-of-the-art investigation, and there are standards. But we are so below that, and here's a measure of that.
Go ahead.
The rate of arrest, the technical term... The technical term is cleared by arrest or exceptional means. Now, 10 years ago, the rate of clearance of by arrest, let's keep it simple, was 52%.
Again, clearance means?
You've arrested someone.
Oh, I see. That's
yeah, you've arrested
at least
somebody.
A suspect has been arrested.
You've arrested a suspect. Not just that you know of a suspect, you've arrested them.
Right.
Well, the West Coast average now, 10 years ago it was better, it was 52%. It's dropped now to 42%.
And in Santa Cruz?
13. 13.
And let's 13%. Say, and the other cities, the other five cities that we...
We didn't look at that. That was one thing that wasn't looked at. It should have been, it could have been,
okay.
But we didn't. And at that time, I don't think we appreciated the seriousness of the lack of arrest. Now, it doesn't I mean, simple logic. If we have a high rate of reported rape and we have a low arrest rate, those two are connected. And this is a crisis situation. Day before yesterday in Oregon, Portland, Oregon, in the front page of their daily paper, The Oregonian, they did a similar research into their police department. It was done by an internal audit. And they found, they were shocked to discover that their rate of arrest was so low and they had real problems with investigation, etc. In other words, it was chillingly similar to our own community. But let me just read you the difference between Portland and Santa Cruz. Incidentally, their arrest rate, I'm calling it arrest, but it's actually quite a technical term, but that it simply does mean arrested someone, it was 16%. In Milwaukee, by comparison, it's 80%, and the West Coast annual average is 42%. So here we are last year at 13%, and in Oregon, having discovered that they have a serious problem, the mayor immediately said that something has to be done. The mayor said that he was troubled by the less than adequate response, and he praised the report's recommendations. The police chief said she's acting on the recommendations, and you have it on front page of the press. Santa Cruz, by contrast, that has a lower rate of arrest.
What did Emily Riley, who's our current mayor, or a year ago when this report actually surfaced?
It was Cynthia Matthews.
Cynthia Matthews, two women who presumably are more sympathetic or because potentially more likely to be a victim or of this, maybe not, I don't know.
Well, more likely to be a victim, but right, not necessarily more sympathetic.
They might feel more that, you know...
You would expect.
Walking at night, if I mean, I don't have problems walking at night, but many of my female friends feel that way.
Right.
That they, and, you know, it's... So
So what was their response?
Yes.
I think that actually, and the record would bear this out, that Mayor Matthews, at that time Mayor Matthews, was the most unsupportive of forming a Blue Ribbon Task Force. Oh, it would take so long, and we don't have the resources, and oh, it would be so time-consuming. Those were the comments. And I wrote them down at the time. And as I mentioned in last week's program, only Council Member Tony Madrigal supported what the commission
proposed.
What about
the Sentinel, or the Urinal, as I like to call it, our local newspaper? What was their reaction to this report? Was it headline news, Santa Cruz rape capital?
No. In fact, they buried the issue very effectively, not just in its placement. They did do a small article, but basically they reverted to... they took the police position. They mentioned that we'd done a report and found high rates of rape, and they then trotted out what the police have been saying for 20 years. It's because women are more inclined
reporting
to
more.
Report. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then when they covered the issue, they've only done it twice, a few months ago, and I had said we've got a long way to go. We have a serious situation in Santa Cruz with lack of a good police response. And the council member, Porter, said he disagreed with Greensight. The police do an excellent job. So what we have is just...
And he's the one who's on the Public Safety Committee who's supposed to be overseeing the police.
Right.
He, Rotkin, and Coonerty.
Well, to his credit, he pushed the issue more than the other two. And the person, again, who stood out as defending the police at every turn was Council Member Rotkin. And, I mean, what they've done, basically, and you can hear it in the tape from the meeting, the last meeting, is basically say, well, it's the DA's problem. He's not filing enough cases. You have to arrest somebody for it to go anywhere, and if the police are only arresting...
Well, what was the response of Mayor Matthews when you called her and said, Mayor Matthews, aren't you going to have a press conference on this issue and maybe a high-level meeting with the police chief and the district attorney and the head of the sheriff's department in order to, you know, come up with some better policy or some explanation about why the very low rate of arrests and why the huge rape rate, according to the report? Her response was...
Well, we didn't really do that, because at that point, when the report
came out... Don't want to offend the mayor?
No way. That wouldn't stop me. This is a serious issue. No, at that point, the police were actively opposing us. And by that, I mean
They arrested you and put you behind bars. No. They've done that to me, you know.
Right, yes. No, that they were putting out letters of their own saying that we didn't, our data was wrong, that we basically didn't know what we were doing. They put in statistics on their conviction rate or arrest rate, which were made up. They said they had twice the national average, I think it was, of arrests, which is just blatantly
untrue. Who was the author of this creative fiction?
I imagine it was the police chief. It was
signed
by the
police chief. Howard Scarry, that mild-mannered police chief?
Yes, well, it comes from the top.
I see.
Yeah. So a very different response.
You can't blame a deputy chief.
Sure, you can. I mean, I think it's all from the top. We didn't get support from... We got active opposition and questioning our data.
Now, police officers connected with the CPVAW, one of them comes to the meetings regularly.
Well, what's so... I mean, it's not funny because this is a serious issue, but we've had, since I've been on the commission and pushed things, I got on the commission to make a difference, so I started pushing things from day one, which was we needed more data from the police and we needed to, you know, take another look and see how things are going. So we've had quite a cast of characters. We had, before I got on the commission, there was one police liaison who was there for, I think, maybe 6 or 7 years. Since I've been
on... His name?
Steve Clark. And
Steve Clark, the only individual who's ever assaulted me on the police department. Amazing. Lieutenant Clark, actually.
Yes.
A special salute
time,
to Lieutenant Clark.
We've had about four, and I think whenever, and some of them were more helpful.
What about Sergeant Baker? Did he ever show up as
we've
liaison?
We've had Sergeant Baker as a liaison. We've had Sergeant Goodwin, and did we have someone else? That might have been it. But as each of them gave us more information and were actually cooperating to get us more information, they were replaced by somebody else. Finally, it's Deputy Chief Saponi, who gives us nothing. Now she doesn't even read out the sexual assault cases, and we get no information. So it's back to square one.
Well, you, after all, the commission is mostly women or mostly men or both?
No, it's 2 men and 5 women.
Well, you know, women are naturally... You want to protect you from that kind of information. You know.
Right. I tried to get you know, some changes I tried to get, and the commission tried to get, because the commission was behind me except for one member who was a male. But I wanted them to change the way they put in the sexual assault against males. Right now it's sodomy. Well, sodomy, it's, you know, it's an ugly Latin word, but basically sodomy is consensual sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so I simply wanted them, when they gave us the data, to say either forced or non-consensual sodomy, to take it out of the language of consensual sex.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
You know, it's interesting.
No, we're not going to do that.
We played a CPV, not CPVIW, but we played the tape of the famous city council meeting in 1992 where Sergeant Baker, accused of sexually mistreating 10 women, was a fact that was dramatically brought to the attention of the community by three lawyers and by the Commission for a Citizens Police Review Board. Coalition for a Citizens Police Review Board, and then the CPVAW came forward with a demand that Baker be transferred off the job and that there be an immediate investigation, independent investigation of this whole issue. And the result, of course, was I was going to give credit to CPVAW for actually initiating this process, but of course the City Council instead voted to have its own subcommittee investigate the issue. And I understand from Sherry Connable that 2 weeks later, City Manager Dick Wilson moved in quickly to quash the investigation, and Baker, of course, was then declared Officer of the Year. And although I have to say, full disclosure, Baker was by investigation by the District Attorney, by the Internal Affairs, and I believe either by the Grand Jury or the State Attorney General declared he was not guilty of criminal behavior. Of course, the question of the CPVAW is not whether it was criminal behavior, but whether it's appropriate behavior for a police officer on the force. And apparently it is, to go, you know, the little breast fondling, which I have done breast fondling, but not as an officer of the law and usually with the consent of the person involved. I would hope always with the consent. But
yes. No.
Yes.
Well, to me, that's very similar story as to the commission giving Deputy Chief Saponi an award on April 25th. Here's the person who single-handedly, I mean, she was the visible presence. Obviously, it comes from the chief, but she's deputy chief, and she was the one at the meetings that basically dismissed our report and actually was quite hostile towards myself at some of the meetings, when I was pushing to get some response to what we'd found. So, you know, it's all very disturbing because underneath is a very serious problem and they're not taking it seriously. And how we're different from Portland.
Well, they are taking it seriously. The serious problem is how to keep police funding and police image in place in spite of the gadflyish notions of certain individuals in the community who insist on embarrassing the department.
Well, that's the problem, that it has become an individual thing. So it's a personal attack on me. That's why I'm not on the commission. Whereas, in fact, if they single out the most vocal person and marginalize that person, then it can be seen as just, you know, a personality type
of
thing.
Yeah, I don't think it is a personal attack. I think that
it's a political attack.
It's business. It's business as
right.
usual. What we're going to do now is we're going to return to those of you who were not here a week ago. And, of course, you can go to the archives to hear the original discussion that Jillian and I were having. And she's going to be interrupting this tape, and so can you. You can call in at 427-3772, all you listeners out there, if there are any of you listening. And we can talk about that. And we're going to have to end this by 7, or at least we're going to have to kind of morph it into something else because we're going to have another person calling in. Though you're welcome to stay, Jillian. We can talk about homeless women involved with abusive behavior by institutional authorities around the law, though I know that you and I have disagreed on the issues of camping bans, although we may not disagree as much as we used to, and that's possible.
Everything's possible.
Yes, we'll
but
see about
before
that.
Before you play the tape, could I just read a small thing
sure.
out of this document? There is an excellent resource that's been put, a rape investigation handbook. I have not read it, but I've read the folks who put it together, a long time in law enforcement. And one of them is his name's John Timoney, chief of police in Miami, Florida. He's nationally renowned for his sex crimes reforms and initiatives as chief of police in both Philadelphia and Miami. And basically, he turned Philadelphia upside down. He went and looked at all of the old rape cases, and he found patterns. They made arrests on cases that they didn't think they would ever make arrests. And so he looks like an old, crusty old fart, obviously, with high morals and high integrity. And he says, It's the responsibility of top management to provide appropriate training for all officers. While the lack of money and resources are real issues, they can never be offered as an excuse. Police departments must do better. And he's addressing this problem of low arrest rates. And that's all we got on that joint committee for the whole 6 months was excuses, excuses.
And again, to remind people... to remind people what happened a year ago, or more than a year ago, Jillian, when you were still on the Commission on Prevention of Violence Against Women, this report was brought forward and said, you know, look at this escalating rape rate, what's going on, let's do something about it. The city council's response, instead of forming an independent blue ribbon panel to deal with it, they threw it into a subcommittee of the city council, the public safety committee, which is the Rotkin, Coonerty, Porter committee, and then meeting with the CPBAW instead of, in other words, saying, okay, let's meet with the police officers involved and let's get something done here. It was more gabble, 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 and gee, maybe this aren't the right stats. And anyway, you guys came out with a report because you were on the CPBAW, which was a part of this joint group, and then you came out with a report in December or January.
Set of recommendations that basically were like pulling teeth. And it was only because I went to every meeting. Nobody else went to every meeting. Most people missed most meetings. And you would think with a report, Robert, that was produced, and you've got someone with some expertise, and I think there's a level of sexism here as well as overlaying everything else, that the first thing on that joint committee would be, well, let's look at the findings from your report. Walk us through them. Explain the things we don't understand. They wouldn't go near the findings. I kept bringing them up, and it was like, oh, go away.
And the findings would be,
for instance? The findings were that we have an extraordinarily high rate of rapes by strangers compared to other communities, that we have a high rate of rape, that our arrest
rate...
Four times the state average, that our arrest rate is abysmally low. I mean, if the West Coast average is 42% of rape reports...
One-third the state average.
And we're 13 for last year. Admittedly, it was 16 the year before, but the year... prior to that was 13. So, mm-hmm. you know, so you would expect that they would do that. They didn't. They just kept going on about musing about sort of bringing out their thoughts about, well, I wonder what this could mean. And they would trot out nonsensical stuff that I had to sit there and say, well, no, you sort of, no, that's not how it works, and you're talking
but
the wrong
But the recommendations end. Came out in
of
January,
the research.
And then they were delayed for, well, it must
six
have been
months.
Six more months, because the police department...
The personal safety committee didn't meet.
The public safety committee.
The public safety
committee.
Yes,
they were canceling meetings right and left.
Right and left. Yeah. And then for some reason, they went back to the commission. So that was a little bit, I thought, of a shell game from Council Member Rock. And why did they go back to the commission? They came out of a joint committee, recommendations to council. They then sit around doing nothing for 6 months.
So in other words, the city council wanted the public safety committee to forward these recommendations to the whole council. Instead of forwarding the recommendations you came up with in January and
December 7th.
On December 7th.
2006, yeah.
You know, they sent them back to you, and then as your commission.
Public safety committee. They went back there.
Back to public safety, and eventually it reached the city council.
Much watered down.
In June, watered down. What form was the watering down? What did that take?
I can't remember the exact words, but I know I was pushing for something to change, to have this lack of investigation looked at immediately. And the final version is, it's that the police department ensure that the annual trainings include enhanced and current techniques to increase the successful prosecution of crimes of sexual assault.
As distinguished from
that there's a serious problem with lack of investigation, and that has to be looked at very closely. In other words, what I expected would come out would be serious problem. Here are the steps of how it's going to be addressed.
What steps would you recommend to deal with that?
Oh, I would say immediately that they have to, this topic, they have to sit down at the highest level and admit that there's a serious problem with investigation, and then put into place what's needed to be done. They're rotating the investigator, never the same person, right? Mm-hmm. So that that person needs immediate training. They wouldn't let the last investigator go to a training where she could have learned a lot because she was fairly new in the position. They just said no, she couldn't go to it. So, you know,
they needed the funding for the pistol range, perhaps.
I don't know what it wasn't funny. It was a free conference. It was just it was a fairly.
They needed
cheap
her on the
flight.
Beat to deal with sitting near a building. Perhaps
it's just not a priority.
More serious crime.
It just isn't a priority. Mm-hmm. And you know, as the authors of this rape investigation handbook say that. A lack of leadership, a lack of experienced and informed supervision, and a lack of investigative training. That's the problem that they're seeing
so
in police departments.
Specifically, what would you... You're the police chief now. He put you in charge of the police department.
Okay.
What kind of changes are you going to make to beef up the situation here, to change it?
Well, first of all, I won't pretend to know the inner workings of the police department, so some of this may not be fully accurate about how they do things, but mm-hmm. I'd call together the top people and say, we've got a crisis, there's no investigation of, or very little investigation of the rape cases. So we've got to get the best investigator, and we've got to have that person go through immediate training. Mm-hmm. We've got to have every officer who's responding to rape follow the standards that the commission developed 20 years ago.
What are those standards?
They're standards of investigation. For example, you ask a victim, did the person, if it's a stranger, for example, did you smell anything? What did the person say to you? Did they have an accent? Did you notice anything unusual? They don't ask basic questions. We developed a handbook with all of that stuff in it. And when I found this 1980s...
Do other police departments do this?
Yes, that's probably why Milwaukee has an 80% arrest rate.
Other departments in California?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Watsonville?
I don't know. I can't speak of individual departments.
You don't know of any, but you don't know specifically which ones do and don't.
No, I wouldn't have a clue. I'd have to go and do what...
Get busy researching there.
Obviously, Portland. Well, I can't do that now because I'm not on the commission.
Oh, use the internet.
Well, you can't get access to the police reports on the internet. You have to go and look at a case very closely. But anyway, all we would, when I tried...
Contact rape crisis groups in different cities. They'll probably tell you what they think of the investigative processes of different cities.
Oh, yeah, that definitely could be done. But right. I don't think there's a need to prove that we have a problem. I mean, you know, how much more...
No, I mean, you're the police chief. We're trying to see how to solve the problem.
Oh, well, you know, have all of the officers immediately trained in following the procedures
mean,
that they
you
have.
You mean not wait for the annual training?
Exactly, which is too little and too late. And I'm not, again, this comes from the top. So in terms of investigation, in 1987, the commission had this handbook that the officers are supposed to carry. When I brought that up to Patty Saponi, when I finally could get this document looked at, Deputy Chief Patty Saponi, it was, well, the officers should have this because they're not interviewing correctly. They're not in. They're not the investigator, but they're not. There's no investigation. The answer was, well, we can't make them have the handbook in their patrol cars. What sort of a response is that? We can't make them.
That would be coercive.
The other thing, Robert, that was irksome, and it's perhaps a small point, I developed a questionnaire that the whole committee, this joint committee again, changed a little bit. But this was a questionnaire for individual police officers anonymously to fill in answers to, like, what's working for you right now in terms of rape cases, what isn't working, and what suggestions do you have for improvement? They wouldn't allow the officers to do that questionnaire.
Well, this is a question of discipline in the force. I mean, you have to keep
it's
things
a question of they do
orderly.
Not want individual officers to blow the whistle. Because I've got a real strong feeling that on the individual officer level, they know there's a problem. And the problem is from the top, and that they're not even allowed to have raise their voices in that level. And I thought that was very telling. If everything's working so well in the department, then what's wrong with individual officers pointing out where it's working well? They know it's not working well, and they won't admit it. And as these folks, these long-time police who did this investigator's manual said, that the first step is to admitting to these kinds of problems is the first step towards fixing
now,
them.
Now, when you brought this up, this up in the 80s, you say?
Yeah.
And now you brought it up again recently.
Yeah, 20 years later.
And when you brought it up, what was the reaction of your fellow CPVAW stalwarts?
Well, the commissioners, there's been a changeover now, but the then commission, when we raised it, I mean, they were solidly, this is a serious problem.
No, I mean, in terms of the proposal that there be, you know, that your questionnaire be adopted, that this manual be adopted.
Oh, they all agreed. They just, it wasn't, you know, sort of no.
And the current commission's position on this?
I think it's mixed. There's a lot of new people who aren't up to speed on this, and they haven't, frankly, some of them haven't even read the report, others have. But the loudest voices on the commission now seem to be, and it's from the two men, is the past leadership created tensions with the police, and we now have to mend that problem. So the problem is not getting along with the police, rather than we have a crisis in lack of arrests in rape cases and lack of investigation.
You know, that was the problem with the CPVA, the CPRB, the Citizens Police Review Board, under Lisa Rose and under, I don't know who the first chair was, they really wanted to work things out with then Chief Belcher, because it was more important to work in a harmonious manner with the police department than to criticize them and create unnecessary friction. Hence, Citizens Police Review Board member John Malkin, who, Lieutenant Clark, actually, said he had a political file on Malkin and actually, in a sense, threatened him with it. Malkin came up with a complaint, and the police review board refused to consider it because it was more than 6 months old, and they had the power to extend that. They did not. And this was, what was her name, Kate Bowden, I believe, was the head of the police review board at that time. They were horrible. And, of course, they continued, even under Mark Halfmoon. Although Halfmoon began to actually do stuff, and probably because he did, people like Rotkin, Matthews, and Porter, and Fitzmaurice, all these wonderful progressives, unanimously killed the police review board. I guess they're not about to kill the CPVAW because it's been
no, but
it's kind of neutered, I guess.
Well, you know, I have a lot of
They've
respect for most of them. It's the two men don't have ovaries, and you know that it's the loudest voices coming from them to heal this problem. But just back to your point, Robert, I'm very happy to sit down and work things out with the police chief behind the scenes and make change. I don't, you know, feel the need to go screaming to the press or whatever.
No, that might be
but
one effective way to proceed.
But what I discovered for the years, 4 years I was on the commission this last time, when I tried to make some changes in the mandatory reporting of sexual assault and to get what happens to cases, I basically was given the runaround.
So no way. Given the runaround?
After
in the studio with us now is Linda LeMaster, who's joined us.
Hello, Linda.
Linda, you've been on the CPVAW as well.
Yeah.
Well, aren't you glad they kicked Jillian off? I mean, you know, we don't need her kind around here, just creating friction with the police department.
And what kind is she? Female? Is that the problem?
Well, no. There are plenty of good women on the board who know how to. I mean, we have Lieutenant, we have Vice Chief Saponi, who's in the police department, indicating there is no sexism there, right?
I haven't gotten over Vice Chief Saponi when she started that riot. I don't think I want to comment.
Oh, you're referring in 1994 when she was just a sergeant and simply rapped a few knuckles at the town clock, telling people to leave the town clock in the New Year's Eve celebration 45 minutes before the usual time, and then directing them all downtown to break windows. She didn't tell them to break the windows, but she enraged the crowd, and then they blocked
She triggered a riot.
Yeah,
and the police department didn't apologize. They tried to blame
they
the young
used it
people
year
that
after
were quicker
year
than
to
the
ask
others.
For more funding and to restrict activities in New Year's festivities. It's interesting.
I want to say I sympathize with the position she was in. It's the police department's executive decisions that concern me, and the same thing is true in this crisis you and Jillian have been talking about.
Mm-hmm. You've been listening to the our broadcast.
I thought I wouldn't come in until after you started the tape rolling that you referred to. But
we're going
to
do that.
Getting me too riled up. So
unfortunately, yeah. Because we're running low on time, we're going to actually begin the tape from where we left off instead of at the beginning of the tape because we haven't got the extra 15 minutes. So I figure all you people listening are going to flood us with phone calls at 427-3772, perhaps, and if not, perhaps not. In any case, this is the city council meeting of June 12th or thereabouts, and it was a meeting at which these somewhat watered down recommendations, delayed for 6 months, actually delayed a year because I don't think they didn't really need to be reformulated. Originally recommendations like this in April of 2006, right? I mean,
we didn't come up with recommendations, but it would have taken all of a couple of hours to develop them.
I mean, well, let's put it this way. There was a discussion 2006. The findings were here. Rate of reported rape is higher at 2.1 per 1,000 females compared to 0.53 California. Reported rapes in the city of Santa Cruz increased by 96% from 84 to 2004, but in California decreased by 18% during the same period. I mean, I suppose it's possible all these figures are wrong. It's possible. I don't know the figures. I haven't looked at them.
No, because when I read the reports, there's a report in front of me, and I can, you know, if we've got 49 rapes reported in 1 year, for
example. No, that there's an explanation other than the fact that Santa Cruz is the rape capital of the state, or that the police department is acting incompetently. We've got to find another explanation for this. For God's sake, get out there and find an explanation, will you?
Well, it's so funny because, really, people have not put two and two together. They're arresting so few people because they're not investigating the cases. And we have a high rate of reported rape. And we know for a fact that men who rape don't just rape once. They rape over and over again until they're caught, if they're ever caught.
Civil libertarian that I am, I might say, well, the reason we don't have such a high a rate of rape arrests is because our police are concerned about the civil liberties of the individual suspect. And unless they have adequate knowledge and evidence, they don't rush in and accuse innocent people.
I hope that were true,
Robert. It sounds like it's only true for men with penises.
Well, no.
What about men without penises? It's not true?
Well, there aren't enough to make generalities like
that. I guess not. Yeah.
No, it's I would totally support, and I've supported men who I thought were accused of rape when it was not appropriate. So I'm very much strict on that, not to use the word rape loosely and not to accuse people without evidence. They are not investigating them because you can. There's a rare one that is investigated. You can, but so I don't want to make it absolute. But in general, they're not investigated. So how can you possibly arrest anybody if you're not going to investigate?
Well, there are more important issues like arresting people for marijuana and dealing with the drug war downtown, not to mention...
Well, they made a... Remember that we were such dire straits because we don't have enough officers and we don't have enough funding. As Councilmember Rotkin says, why they've got to pull people off the streets if we pay more attention to rape? I just read in the paper that they've formed a new street crime unit and arrested two prostitutes on Ocean Street last week.
Yeah, we don't want them hookers messing around with the Johns down in the beach flats in the lower ocean.
That implies to me, given what little I know of the downtown communities, that the neighborhood groups are being effective when they complain. But unfortunately, in general, they complain about things that affect their equity instead of their daughters and their nieces.
It is. I think that's a very good point, Linda. Very good point. And the whole area of rape is so difficult because denial and silence are the order of the day.
Well, we're going to hear some real straight talk from the Santa Cruz City Council now. actually, we're in the middle of. I'm not quite sure exactly where we are on this tape, but we played most of it. Wait, our callers always come first. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Julian, Linda, and Robert. Hello. Hello. I can't hear you. Are you there?
Let me see here. What seems to be the problem?
Speak up. I hear something, but I don't hear you. I don't know why.
Hello?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. You got. Hello? If you got a radio, turn it down. Turn it off. Are you still there? Hello? Okay, callers, listen to me clearly on this, and I guess I should have said this at the beginning of the show. We have a slight delay here. It's not to censor you, but it's because of our super-secret technical procedures, which allow us to keep the FCC at a safe distance. That's interesting. So try again at 427-3772, and you may actually get in, and we can chat. While you're doing that over here is the Santa Cruz City Council in all its glory.
It's like sending it back to the place where...
And actually, that's not the city council. That's Jillian Greenside talking to the city council. So let's see who we've got here. I think we may actually get a caller. Hi, caller. What's happening? You're on Free Radio. Speak up. Hello? Please. All right. Try again. I don't know if maybe we have a problem with the lines. It's possible. That would be too bad. Let's get back to Life with Mike Rotkin and Cynthia Matthews. I should say Ed Porter and Emily Riley. I guess Coonerty is the vice mayor.
Worked for many years to try and accomplish those aspects that are in front of you now. And so I just ask you in your motion that you actually direct the city manager, I've just finished on this if I may, city manager to work with the police department, and that there be a structure and a plan of how these recommendations will be adopted. Otherwise, we'll be back in another 20 years, and unless there's something very specific with those with the power to do this, I fear that this issue will not be sufficiently addressed. Thank you.
So what about the city manager? What's his role in this whole thing?
Well, apparently, he's the only person in the city who can direct the police department to do anything. Mm-hmm. The council doesn't have that power, nobody, and their own common sense doesn't tell them to do it, and the research doesn't direct them to do it.
Chief Scarry says no.
Right.
And Saponi says uh-uh.
And the press won't cover it. That's why I'm so grateful that you're doing this. Mm-hmm. So when you have silence from the press, the council trying to cover it up, probably because we're a tourist town, and the police not saying there's a problem, then the only one left is the city manager. Now, will he do anything?
Dick Wilson? Of course he will. We know Dick is always on the ball with this stuff.
6 months, supposed to come back with an FYI for council.
Well, Dick Wilson was city manager back in the 80s, and he did a splendid job back then, right?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get on with the you've just finished your presentation to City Council and you've asked them to take some action. Let's see what action they take.
Any other comment from the public?
This is Mayor Riley.
Item, Deputy Chief Saponi, would you describe your understanding of what the meaning of sexual assault is, and then we might ask the city manager to
Go ahead, Jillian.
City attorney to comment as well.
Patty Saponi here is not commenting on any of the recommendations. She's basically clarifying for Mr. Tomasi what that staring at a woman's toe is not a form of sexual assault.
Unless you have an erotic attraction to that toe. And I've been keeping an eye on your... Well, you've got closed shoes, so we can't really get into that.
I think Jillian's referring to the laws of the land with the state. They define...
Yeah, in fact,
he was being facetious.
Being facetious. Yes, actually, if you listen to the last show archived on free radio at huffsantacruz.org on last Sunday's show a week ago, you will hear Michael Tomasi, you know, asking what is sexual assault? What does that amount to? Because he's concerned that there's an attack on poor Tony Madrigal for talking about the gams of the babes. I'm not quite sure whether he talked about tits and ass or whatever he talked about, but. He was shown the door, and he was slapped around quite a bit by the police department.
An example of a fast-acting city manager, and the only one I can think of.
Yeah, apparently they're concerned with making sure that it's okay. If they want to make sure Tony Madrigal uses the proper language, but when it comes to dealing with penetration, unwanted penetration, apparently it's a little different, right?
As I said, and I just repeat it, I think it's a form of sexism to bury a report on rape. I think it's gross sexism to tell the mayor how to run a meeting. I think we've got plenty of examples of...
No, wait, you're not suggesting that people like Shadow Mayor Mike Rodkin are telling our mayor... I think she actually... Frankly, I think she appreciates the assistance from.
No, she doesn't. She actually, last time she was mayor, she was quiet. I notice she's more assertive now. That she will say, "I can do that, Mike," and shut him up. So you know, she's got a bit more found her voice.
Poor Mike Rodkin, attacked viciously by his former partner. I might add, full disclosure.
Well, I think that's irrelevant to this. I mean, in fact, it just gets in the way.
I understand. Yeah. I'm saying it, though, because we want to be completely candid here.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm...
You're talking to women who are beyond candid, Robert.
I'm worried
about that.
Yes. I used to live with Mike Rotkin, but that's that ended a long time
ago. We're going to talk about the
ago.
Details of that relationship later, which
no,
I'm quite
no,
interested
you.
In the specifics.
It's not very interesting at all.
The epidemic of rape and sexual assault against women, which is being ignored and practically colluded with by the police department, I think it's more important to talk about that. You know, we'll come to the gossip shows.
What a ridiculous idea. Anyway, moving on with the city council here.
Thank you. Deputy Chief Patty Saponi. The comment by Mr. Tomasi earlier, making a comment about anyone's feet or toes in and of itself would not meet the criteria or the definition of the California Penal Code for sexual assault. The laws are very clear. There are certain types of crime. They're called out very specifically with certain elements. It'd be a little long to go into that now, but what he just described, no, that would not meet that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Mr. Barasoni, do you want to elaborate on that at all?
I'd be happy to talk.
This sounds absolutely ridiculous. They're not talking about the report. They're talking about Michael Tomasi's concerns, which Michael is an amusing fellow, and... I'm always glad when people try to educate Michael and vice versa, but it seems to me, as Linda, you've said, that there are other issues at stake here.
Tomasi about that offline if he wants
Thank
to come
you
to
very
my
much.
Office.
Appreciate that. Mr. Porter.
Well, I'd like to move that we accept this report and direct staff to implement recommendations of the Commission for the prevention of violence against women as presented. And also that we get an FYI back from the city manager after 6 months, which would come to council and members of CPBAW.
I'm happy to second
status report.
Well, what's wrong with that? I mean, come on. There you are. Ed Porter said the recommendations are being accepted. What's your beef, Jillian?
Well, it's, again, it's we have a crisis. We need immediate action.
Don't the recommendations suggest immediate action?
The recommendations talk about
annual training.
If funds allow.
If funds allow.
And a report.
And
a joint report.
Another report.
If funds allow.
A joint report. Is this a report after a joint or no?
And also that it talks about report writing, that the officers should do better reports. But it hasn't got to the meat of the heart of the problem.
Which is the investigative problem?
They're not being investigated. And they're not leading to any arrests. So we have men out in the community who are raping women again and again. And they don't even do anything to sort of see if there are patterns. They have no database. What we did was the first ever looking at the data to see, you know, so that they can track. Something happened over here on River Street. Another one on River Street. Wonder if there's any connection. Maybe we should go and talk to the neighbours. None of that sort of police work is done. Basic police work is not being done.
Now, can you prove this, or are you just mouthing off because
you're
jealous of not being on the police force?
Well, the city reports that, I guess you gave these to Robert and that I read today, they claim that they're not looking into things. And the six, I guess, random police reports indicate that... two out of three times they don't do any kind of follow-through. They don't even do a good interview, let alone investigation.
Yeah.
So it's the city's documents.
What about a civil lawsuit against for incompetence against the police department, something like that?
I'm not sure. You know, there might be other avenues. My best hope would be that the people in Santa Cruz would sort of get a bit of a light bulb and say, wait a minute, now I see the problem and what can we do about it? But
yeah.
When you have the press squashing it, there's, you know, maybe there are other ways, and that's not a bad suggestion.
Maybe we could rape the police chief.
No, we don't want to go there.
Actually, I wouldn't find that a pleasant experience, and I wouldn't suggest he would either. Nor would I suggest that anybody out there engage in that kind of behavior.
But I want to respond to that, Robert, because
yes.
This is an opportunity to remind all of ourselves and anyone listening that rape is a form of violence. It's not about sex. So, you know, fighting violence with violence, maybe some people believe that.
No, I think if police officers began to be raped more regularly, there would be a definite rise in concern on this issue, frankly. And it wouldn't have to be the police chief. It might be relatives of the police chief or relatives of police officers.
I'm a woman who's been raped, and I'm not going to be a part of that kind of community action when
I am not proposing. I'm not proposing a rape team go out and, you know, do that.
Well, Robert's just being humorous here, but I think if we had been able to actually get the officers to respond to the questionnaire, if that hadn't been blocked by Deputy Chief Saponi and the police chief.
What year did that blockage happen?
Well, this was when the Joint Committee was meeting. That
during
was part of
last
that.
Year?
Yeah, last year. That was, I came up with the idea, drew up the questionnaire, all the
fellow people
thought it was great.
You could circulate it, of course you need some help, but you could circulate an initiative on the ballot requiring that these kinds of procedures be adopted. You know, I mean, it doesn't...
Well, you could do that.
The city follow its own procedures and policies.
Quite frankly, you know, that's a they're not bad ideas, they're just huge amounts of work. I spent 4 years, I don't know how many hundreds of hours, but it was hundreds of hours documenting everything, reading everything carefully, looking at the national data, and that was just for naught. You know, I think they've got the message behind the scenes, hey, there's a problem here, but get Greensight off our backs. You know, I think that was said very clearly because that's what the council, Dick Wilson, wouldn't allow me to meet. He refused to meet with me. Now, in a private meeting, and you know, in life, I'm respectful, I'm very direct, and I know I don't say anything if I don't know what I'm talking about. That's why he didn't want me at the meeting. It's not like I jump up and down and yell and curse. I'd never do that.
I hope you don't give Nazi salutes. Anyway, let's hear some more of the city council meeting while we can.
Second. I thought it was, but I didn't see it, so I thought I'd say
it. This is Ed Porter.
Okay, so do we have a second? Mr. Madrigal, okay. Second. And Cynthia, and then Ryan, and then Tony.
Well, I wanted to thank the task force for its good work on this. They took a lot of community concern and...
you feel thanked, Jillian?
No. I noticed they made a point of thanking staff for all the work. Staff didn't do the work on this. But, you know, anyway, be that as it may, it's window dressing. But community concerns, I don't think there was enough community concern. That's half the problem.
Yeah. We have a caller, which may be our Berkeley call, but we'll see. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert, Jillian, and Linda. Hello. I think we have...
Hello, can you hear me okay?
I can, yes, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you. Wait a minute. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I have a question for Jill.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
How long has this rape that's making Santa Cruz way more than the average city of its size, how long has this been going on?
Thank you, caller.
Thank you for that question. It's the rate of rape in Santa Cruz has always been high, but the trend in the state and most communities is downwards, and ours has been going upwards since the past 20 years. So it has gone up and down, but overall, if you look at the graph, the trend is upwards. So it's been a steadily increasing trend since the mid-1980s. Now, what the police say is it took a jump in 2000 because they switched over to a computer, and that was their throwaway line to dismiss all of this. But that doesn't really make sense, because if that's true, then no one's minding the store. There's someone sending in data who doesn't know what they're doing. So I don't, you know, you can go back and forwards on that. But it's been for quite a while. And when I started this work in 79, I was aware that Santa Cruz had a high rate of reported rape. But it has just been getting increasingly higher ever since.
Back to the City Council.
The interests of both the police department and the CPVAW, and I think brought forth some, they distilled the priorities very well. I want to make just a few comments. On number three, which is the unified tracking of cases, which asks that the police department work with the DA's office to create a unified tracking system. We're not directing the police department, as I understand it, to do anything they're not already interested in doing.
True or false?
Well, they're not interested in tracking cases at all. That's totally false. And what she's saying is we track them, but we just want, like, the DA's office to start making it so it's a similar tracking system. We've asked to get the disposition of cases. Our police department does get it. For 2 years, they said they didn't get it. And then all of a sudden, when I made the rounds of everybody and came back to square one, they get them all right, but they're not going to share them with the commission. So she's talking off the top of her head.
Wow. My understanding is that, and correct me if I'm wrong out here, that the cities in Santa Cruz County currently have a unified reporting system. Patty's nodding her head. Deputy Chief Ciccone is nodding her head. But the kind of the follow-through part of the tracking, which depends on the DA's office, is not fully integrated. So I think in support of this recommendation from the committee, we could ask that the mayor convey to the district attorney.
It's the DA's fault, right?
That is the theme throughout that whole 6 months of meeting when Councilmember Rotkin made up how hard it was to get stuff out of the DA, when in fact he only called the DA once. And all of this now is being pointed at the DA. Well, there's no arrests. What can the DA do?
And having the county's reporting and tracking system compatible, not necessarily identical, but compatible with ours, so that we can kind of close the loop on these things. So that would be one suggestion. Going down to number five on police training, and I think many of these suggestions here are areas where the police department has said they see room for improvement anyway, but the recommendation here calls for...
Wait a minute. Do they see room for improvement? Have they acknowledged any... any fault or responsibility or problem?
They did one comment in all of this procedure. Finally, from Deputy Chief Saponi, was that when I zeroed in on one case, particularly egregious case, and kept asking questions about it, the final result was yes, that was the problem our end. And
what was the problem?
That was one where the person who was raped was not given a forensic exam, and then later they did find three suspects who had drugs in their possession, but without any forensic exam. She felt she'd been drugged. There was nothing there. I thought it was the problem with the nurse examiner, but they admitted it was their problem. If that was an isolated case, I don't, you know, except for that poor victim, but it's not. That's the general rule. So there was an admission that individual officers don't handle many cases, and while they try to do their best, there is a problem there. But it was
because they lack a guide, training.
They lack experience. But that means then you take that knowledge, and tomorrow you just put into place what is needed.
The annual training is coming up.
Yeah,
so
it
relax.
Sounds more like misogyny than innocence to me, on a higher level than the rookie cops. Too.
I agree with Linda. I get the feeling that, you know, I don't know them all, but I get the feeling from sitting through the training, 8 hours of training on two separate days, that they soaked it up and that they would like to be better trained, but it has to come from the top, and that's where it's not yet coming.
Will increase successful prosecution.
Councilmember Matthews is speaking.
And there again, I think we know from some of the incidents in the community, it's not the police department's responsibility as to what the district attorney chooses to prosecute or not. So I think we should just acknowledge that. But overall, certainly an interest in preparing written reports that...
Was there any discussion of prosecution of cases at all?
No, there wasn't. And in fact, you bring up a good point, Robert. Let's say that this is the first time that the council has discussed the issue of rape in our community. I would have expected there should have been like a whole evening devoted to it.
How many minutes were devoted to it?
Oh, I'd say it was about 10 minutes maybe. No,
well, at the next year's annual review, there'll be further discussion, perhaps.
I know when Matthews was mayor and we had to present the report to council, we begged for an extra 5 minutes. They gave us 20 minutes for the researchers to give the research and for me to put the context. And we begged for an extra 5 minutes because we couldn't do it.
Whereas John Wallace giving a report on the menace of campers in the Poganip, I believe, got an hour and a half.
And
a slideshow as well.
Yeah, no.
If you need some slideshows.
We did have a slideshow. We had a slideshow, and we couldn't get more than 15 minutes or 20 minutes.
Maybe you should talk to John Wallace. Maybe he can kind of get you the in on
that. No, that in itself, and I agree with Linda, like hot air going on here. Well, Ryan Coonerty breezed in for 5 minutes of a meeting and then had to go to other things.
He's
more
the vice
important.
Mayor.
He's the vice mayor. And most of the commissioners didn't come to most of the meeting, et cetera. So it's just not being taken seriously enough, pure and simple.
Useful and forceful as possible. Again, moving down to number 6, which is the report writing regarding the perpetrator and victim. And it calls out to provide sufficient information in the report to allow someone to understand which of three categories it may fall into. As I understand from talking with...
Explain to us what this recommendation means.
This recommendation is... The classic language used is stranger or acquaintance rape. Mm-hmm. The more common terminology is stranger and non-stranger. If you want to compare your data with what's on the cutting edge in this regards, then you break it down a bit further. So you can have a complete stranger, like leaping out of the bushes. That's rare. Doesn't mm-hmm. Although in Santa Cruz, we have a high rate of that sort of attack. Mm. Then a brief encounter would be, I met someone at a bar, and I, you know, had quite a few drinks, and then he followed me home or came home with me, and then he raped me. That's a brief encounter. And that's usually a very high number. And then people use the term date rape very loosely. Actually, the number of rapes on dates is only about 13%. So it's non-stranger, meaning I know you. You know, I've seen you in the neighborhood or you're in a class of
so
mine.
So what was the recommendation of the city?
And
of,
it was
of
not,
the CPD
this is just for data gathering. It's not like a big thing. We just asked that maybe they could check that off or put enough information in the body of the report. So
is it important? I mean, was it,
it's important for data gathering. It's not important for anything else.
Well, this seems like something the police department would normally do of its own accord. Were they refusing to do this?
They don't want to gather and take any, get any data. Yeah, they did refuse to put it on the report, but, you know.
So you're asking the city council to ask the city manager to direct the police department to do that?
And they're not going to do it. The recommendation is that they'll just put enough information in the body so you can tell if you're reading the full report whether it was a brief encounter.
So they won't it may not be available as a statistic?
Right, it won't be.
Is there some reason they're so reluctant to do this? I mean, what's rational?
We can speculate.
What
I heard
closer,
before,
please.
What I heard before I came in seemed right on to my senses. When you, Gillian said something about tourists, you know, why does a sentinel not want to touch something this important?
Yeah.
It might impact visitors who come here and spend money, our pseudo-economy.
Yeah, I think Linda's right on the money there. It's the mayor of Jaws.
So maybe what you need is a publicity campaign with a bunch of, you know, rape. It's the going thing in Santa Cruz. Have a picture of Mayor Matthews saying, you know, leave it to the DA. It's his problem. Something to that effect, so you can actually have a visual impact and would embarrass the city council and the police department into taking seriously what they refuse to take seriously.
Well, I think you're right, Robert. That would be the next step. But the problem is, where are the people in Santa Cruz who are coming out to be outraged? Where's the outrage? I mean, that's what is so frustrating.
Hey there, callers. Any outrage out there? Give us a call, 427-3772.
People have been reading that how many rapes in the paper, but once again, it's the issue, denial. It will never happen to me. It happens to those women downtown who get drunk, so I'm not going to deal with it. That's the
problem.
Those
poor homeless women.
Yes, yeah.
These are not actual categories that are specifically called out in a report.
Right.
Or are significant. If a rape occurs, it's a rape regardless. But being able to understand these different natures of assaults would be useful to the commission in deciding how to prioritize its activities. So that's where it's...
Linda, you have a comment?
It sounded to me like Cynthia Matthews just said, well, if we add this one more character to the report by asking police officers to indicate which sector the perpetrator or the person doing the assault is from, it will help the commission prioritize their work. This commission that's getting perpetually defunded and has already been virtually had its mouth zipped in the last 8 years, we don't need to give them more direction. They're one of the few living commissions and advisory boards working for the city of Santa Cruz. We need to allow the citizens of this town or the city to understand the danger of letting their women and girls out.
Wouldn't Matthew's proposal make it clearer at what... I mean, she's in essence supporting that part of the report.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. The thing is, it's a very tiny, tiny thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got this huge elephant of a problem.
She's talking about...
She's making her sound she's engaged with the issues and she's picking
she's
on
not.
The most innocuous.
Right, she's not really engaged at all with the issue.
Right, exactly.
And the real question is, why weren't the police directed to do this a year ago when she was mayor?
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
Significance that the commissioners reading their reports can understand a little bit more about the nature of the assaults. So I thought it was maybe useful to just clarify those issues. Overall, I think it just represents very good, serious work on the part of our staff in both departments and the...
Serious work on part of the staff on both departments? What do you think?
I did most of the work.
You're not staff.
I know.
Maybe you should get paid as staff. Linda?
It disturbs me that Cynthia's talking about this report and not what the report says. And I don't know how typical that is. I wasn't there. it's typical enough of Cynthia, but I don't know if all the city council members are saying, look at these nice pages with letters on them, instead of what's happening to our women and girls.
Well, Linda's got a point. You see, what we have here is a set of recommendations that basically are saying, all right, police department, do a better job of report writing. That's too little, etc. But the findings of the report have never been discussed. They have been totally buried. And that's why I couldn't get them addressed in the joint committee, and there's no discussion.
Now, I would like to remind listeners who are listening, and you're tuned to 101.1 FM and freakradio.org, and speakers here are, that we just heard, Jillian Greensight, CPVAW chair in exile here, talking from the studio, as well as the Homeless Issues Task Force chair in exile, Chair Linda LeMaster. That was also a discontinued commission. The findings you mentioned are these. Rate of reported rape is higher in the city of Santa Cruz than comparative cities, counties, surrounding regions in the state of California. The 2004 rate, and I may be repeating myself, but perhaps it bears repeating, in Santa Cruz is 2.10 per 1,000 females. The California rate is 0.53 per 1,000 females.
Can I interject? That's 8-1.
4-1.
4-1.
I'm sorry.
It's 4-1. It's still an important figure. Mm-hmm. Reported rapes in the city of Santa Cruz increased by 96% from 1984 to 2004. Reported rapes in California decreased by 18% during the same period. Rate of sexual assaults by strangers is higher in the city of Santa Cruz. You talked about this before, Jillian. 36% in 2003 and 45% in 2004, and especially in the downtown beat, 75%, and the national average of 17%, according to the National Institute of Justice 2006 figures. Arrest rate for rape in Santa Cruz in 2004 was, we've talked about this, 18%. Nationally,
it actually was 13. That was a mistake.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Well,
nationally, 42% of reported rapes were cleared by arrest in 2004, according to FBI data.
Mm-hmm.
Report data is consistent with national stats, which show that the majority of rape victims are under the age of 25, while suspects are older. Report data is not consistent with national statistics, which show that the race or ethnicity of the suspect and the victim are the same in the vast majority of cases. In Santa Cruz, for 2003 and 2004, when the victim and suspect were of different races or ethnicities, it was predominantly in situations of rape by strangers in the external environment. I'm going to ask for your comments, ladies, or women, if you will, or both, on the significance of this. And report data revealed that most victims were local residents. Ooh, maybe that's another reason they don't want this to be too widely spread. Well, so tourists don't have to worry. It's the local residents. For suspects, the unknown category was too large to draw a conclusion. That was, were the suspects local? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Report data revealed that alcohol and other drugs were noted in approximately 40% of the cases. Although the unknown category was significant for suspects, it's not clear how this racks up statewide and nationally. How does that compare? Is mostly alcohol the same 40% in most cases?
It's difficult. You read different reports, and there's no national data that collects that to easily compare. Mm-hmm. But the police department's impression, and I think this is a significant point, they argued against that. They said we didn't know how to read the report, that alcohol is involved in nearly all of the cases of rape. Well, if it is, it should be in the report, because if a report goes to trial, if the case is filed, it's important that it be noted, the extent of alcohol, because that would be a definition of rape. The victim is incapable of resisting because of any intoxicating substance.
Mm-hmm.
And so the important point here is the police head people have an impression that alcohol is so much, but that is not borne out by the facts. So if you've got impressions, it means you can also have stereotypes and assumptions that can get in the way of good police work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like your making these kind of allegations about our police chief, but I'll allow you to continue. And the final thing is, do you want to say something, Linda? Go ahead.
I just thought that it's not just the police chief, but the management and executive police. It's almost like a policy. It's so absolute right now.
What's almost like a policy?
I've read the police reports.
Here's and counsel, so thank you all.
Now, Cynthia, you're going to have
thank
to wait
you,
here.
Brian.
Go ahead, Linda. That was Cynthia Matthews trying to interrupt you.
That's happened before.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say you can't just single out the police chief because it's a policy kind of behavior.
But the chief has the power to change the policy.
Yeah. He's the one that's responsible, and he's the one that needs to look at finding a resolution for some of this, at least looking at it honestly. But I'm trying to say it's more than just one man's shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon the sexism, please.
Yes. We're reading the findings that you say were ignored and not discussed by the City Council, either in 2006 or 2007 in any significant degree? Or
no, they weren't discussed at all, ever,
findings. These are interesting findings. Yeah. Probably the last finding reported in this report. I'm reading from the City Council agenda report, so they did read this, presumably, of April 13, 2006, a year ago, from the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women Commission's report on rape and sexual assault. Report data revealed that 62% of victims who reported the rape to law enforcement did so immediately, and 80% within one day. And again, the recommendation is that the Santa Cruz City Council review the rape and sexual assault report, which perhaps they did, but they didn't seem to apparently talk about it much. And but maybe it just speaks for itself. You know, this is kind of stuff we want deep six fast.
Yes.
And by motion, create the rape and sexual assault task force, which they didn't really do, but they simply put together the committee of the...
No, they didn't do it at all. They didn't support that.
They didn't create that.
Nope. Tony Madrigal made a motion, and it didn't get a second.
It didn't get a second. Well, no. Madrigal is a pervert and a sexist pig, so I can appreciate that they wouldn't really want to support him.
But can you imagine... he's just being
silly. I'm just being facetious.
Silly.
Although perhaps not, but it's not relevant really to this. But go ahead.
There's
been a lot of attention to Madrigal's sexism, but very little to the sexism of the City Council, sexism of dealing with this report.
Yes.
We have a caller.
I don't see that what somebody says determines that. I think how they treat women determines that.
And, caller, you're on Free Radio, and I hope you can hear me. Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can kind of hear you.
Oh, good, good. That's something.
Well, I wanted to tell you that when Jillian says that there are no rape statistics on the internet, that's a pretty bizarre statement.
Well, no, I don't think she's saying there are no rape stats on the internet, but let her speak for herself. I will.
Yes, no, there's a huge amount of data on the internet around rape statistics, the Uniform Crime Report being the main national one and the National Crime Victimization Survey. What I said was that to go and look up what percentage of rape reports of rape to the police where alcohol was a factor, it's not so easy to just go and compare communities on that one variable.
Caller?
All right.
So does that resolve your concern that Jillian may be whistling Dixie?
To some extent.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Certainly.
Thank you
for calling in. We actually have a listener out there.
Wonderful.
At least one, maybe two or three, maybe more.
I was just going to say, though, Robert, if this had been a report on, gangs or take any other critical social issue, and it was the first ever report ever done, and it found that Santa Cruz had data that was against the state norm, national norms, and important stuff. I mean, and the council gives it 10 minutes and dismisses it and then gets rid of the person who was, took a leadership role in this.
They didn't get rid of you.
They didn't reappoint
you. Didn't reappoint you.
But, I mean, wouldn't people... The fact that it's rape and that women are primarily, although acknowledging that it might be male victims out there of rape, and, you know, every person's story is important, I'm not dismissing that, but it predominantly impacts women. And so we're a tourist town. And so I agree with Linda. I don't want to point the finger only at the police chief. I think it's like the council, the city manager, and the police chief, and probably others, and staff. I mean, I had to fight to get this. The wording was changed by the city clerk.
You're pointing to the report I just read.
Sorry, yes. I'm reporting to the report to council when we delivered the report in April 2006. I went down, I was the chair then, and when I went down to sign off on it and read it, the city clerk had changed what the subject was. And so...
What did she change it from?
She had changed it to... It wasn't reviewing the task. It was whether they would create a task force or not.
To take the opportunity to thank staff
hang on there. That's Coonerty. He interrupts often frequently,
yes.
too. Go ahead.
So basically, it had what she had done was narrow the topic so that they wouldn't have a chance. It wasn't on there to discuss the report. It would simply, shall we have a task force or not? And I picked it up immediately and said, well, who changed that? And she said, well, I did. And I said, but you've got to have it in there on the subject, have the report in there, or they won't be looking at it. Well, then we'll have to change the recommendation. Well, that's fine. Change it. But
who was the person who did this?
That was the city clerk.
Leslie Cook?
Yes.
This is the same city clerk who advised Kennedy so he could sneak out the back when we tried to serve him with a subpoena one city council day or evening?
But it's like that all the way through. You find little changes made. Mm. And, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it's quite straightforward right in front of your face.
Well, they're trying to defend each other. I mean, you got to stick together when you're, when you're part of the city's staff, you're part of a team.
And I don't mind that if people present that's who they are politically. But when these politicians pretend that they are progressive and that they have some sort of left-leaning or liberal tendencies, I mean, it's a farce.
Oh, come. Mike Rotkin is a great favorite with the students.
Yes.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, not much. Actually, it has a great deal to do with it. Mike runs every...
I expect a different set of behaviors from him when he's on the city council than I do when I'm looking for a volunteer up at UCSC.
Well, actually, the relevant point is that students are easily bamboozled by people like Rotkin and Fitzmaurice, who like to claim to be progressive but are nothing of the kind on a number of very significant local issues, ranging from civil rights for the homeless to apparently meaningful change in the police department that would deal with issues like a failure to investigate rape.
And remember one thing. The problems in the police department are severe, and it's at a crisis point, but that's only one part of this report.
Yeah.
So, we didn't even get to the base of the police department improvement. Then there's this whole thing about stranger rape. What about the communities that need to be addressed in terms of the ethnicity of those who are committing rape against
And you're suggesting because the figures are higher for the Latino community that's a particular problem there, one that perhaps would be too much of a hot potato for people concerned about being tagged as racist?
Absolutely, and to his credit, when I brought it up when I did the presentation, and, I really believe this. A man who rapes is a man who rapes. Ethnicity is not really relevant, except if you're trying to reach out to a community where you do seem to have an unusually high number of rapes by strangers are committed by Latinos. You don't want to feed racism.
That wasn't part of the findings.
But wait
a
minute. It was put in neutral terms carefully, yes, because I don't want to feed into people's racism, but neither do I want to pretend that something isn't there when it is.
So give us
and
the straight
to
dope
his credit,
here, Jillian. What's
Tony Madrigal agreed. He said it would be very important at that Blue Ribbon Task Force to have key players from the Latino communities at the table, because most people in the Latino communities would be as disturbed by this as anybody else.
Are you saying there are more Latino rapists as a percentage of the population here, as far as suspects go, than other ethnicities?
Yes.
I'm willing to talk about that in kind of more specific terms, not names by any means, but in the years I worked on the commission and in a lot of the years I worked in different nonprofits and worked through the Human Care Alliance with a lot of nonprofits, it is a consistent thing you hear when Latino women are present. Oh, we can't do that to our men. And I'm not being exaggerating and I don't mean to be facetious.
Can't do what to your men?
We can't confront these things. We can't go by the same rules. We can't give our guys the same hard time that you're giving your guys, meaning me, a white woman, they think or assume are giving men in my life. They're afraid to do it, and they're afraid to make it an issue in their community, and they're afraid it'll come down on their women who are under somebody's thumb if they do it, as if there weren't a lot of women under some white men's thumbs. And I've ran into it so many times that I'm not hesitating here to tell you I've heard it a lot of times. And it's really freaking you out when you're on the commission, and you know part of your whole point in being there is public education, and people are saying, stop, don't bring that to this shelter, or don't bring that to this center. We can't put our Latina women under more pressure when they're already scared of their men.
And Sorry, I'm just going to add to...
I mean, to the extent, like when I worked for Welfare Parent Support Group, it's like there was only one day a week in Watsonville we could have a meeting if we wanted anyone new to come, because it couldn't...
Patty and the commission for...
Shut up.
With mass or with the grocery store night, because these women were literally physically kept by and with their men. And I'm talking to this as a woman who comes from a culture like that, so I'm not afraid. I'm not going to do this alleged progressive tiptoe stuff about it. I don't have anything to lose here. But there is a trepidation among the power elite and the cops and other people who work for them to be frank about it.
There's certainly more Latino people on the police department than there are blacks, but that's probably a reflection of the population, too.
Yes, I would think so. And, obviously, most members of the Latino communities are hardworking and are not, doing this sort of thing. And the problem is that people are racist and people will pick up on this and they already have that prejudice. But when your data finds something, and this was pretty much limited to on-the-street attacks by random men, just grabbing women on the street. Some white men were doing that, but disproportionately higher numbers were Latino males. And so that is important, because I don't think it's like the families and the members of the community who are solidly in the community. But one hypothesis, and I as a white woman, obviously I would take this into the Latino communities and have people address it and figure it out, not telling people what it's all about. One woman who works in the field of sexual assault, who's a Latina, I discussed it with her. And I also discussed that in Santa Cruz we have a number of Latino males who've come to the community recently, single males, who are not connected necessarily to their own communities, and they haven't been sort of socialized about interactions with white females in the community, especially beach town, and there's an attitude, I think, that's not uncommon amongst single men in general, and especially men new to a community from a very different culture, that women who walk around like this,
they're prostitutes.
Exactly. And so it would be, with that finding, being having an adult conversation, and Tony Madrigal didn't shy away from it, right? If we could have addressed it seriously,
with the officers about it, actually.
If we could have addressed it seriously, we could do outreach. We actually might make a difference.
Now, have you contacted Madrigal and talked to him about this issue?
I haven't. I mean, I
frankly,
have.
I don't think much of the guy at all. But I mean, he seems to be a supporter on this issue.
I did go to a few meetings. They had like a group to address issues of safety, and I went there to bring this issue to the forefront. But then that, I guess, has faded away.
Has he ever responded to a call? I've called him repeatedly. He will not respond to my phone calls. Maybe
I've emailed him and got a response. But yeah, that's a good idea.
What about Latino victims? Is there what's the story with? First of all, is there a high number of Latino victims in this?
Well, of course, do people come forward? Is a question.
Yeah,
I'm looking
true.
At the results. Most of the victims, 72%, were white in 2003, 6% Latino, and 14% black, African American.
In Santa Cruz?
In 2004, 65% were white, 10% Latino, and 7% were African American.
That's a strange change. Those figures sound awfully...
Well, we're talking about what people do and committing crimes.
No, but I'm saying 1 year you have the proportion of black to Latino victims shifted markedly from 2003 to 2004.
I hope that that's a correct statistic. That 14% seemed high. I think that in the population, it's about 8% of the population is African American.
In Santa Cruz?
I
think it's more like 1%.
No.
Really? Interesting.
I may be wrong. But
you certainly don't see a lot of black people downtown. That's for damn sure.
No, but there's a long long-standing African-American community going way, way back in Santa Cruz. Obviously, numbers
there
are
is,
smaller.
There is, but not pretty. I mean, 8%? I don't know.
But anyway.
But anyway, yeah. So what about other
I
cities? We talked about the five other cities. Is there, and some of them are beach towns like Santa Barbara with a large Latino population. Is that the same? Did you find similar concerns that the Latino men need more education on this issue because of, at least in terms of the rapist minority among the...
And I don't mean Latino men. I'd like to get away from talking about all of a group, But I do think it is related to this significant percentage of men who are more recently arrived who are not connected. That's a hypothesis, but I think it's a reasonable one. And to answer your question specifically, in order to know that...
Sorry about that.
That's all right. In order to know that, I'd have to read the police reports of every case
in other jurisdictions.
In the
surveys, that issue was not covered of the different five different communities.
We looked at just raw numbers for five different and rates for five different cities. Sorry, not raw numbers.
But not
and then we looked at 2 years of rape reports in our own city.
Right.
In depth to see who, what, when, and where.
How long did it take you to do the report?
Oh, hours and hours and hours, hundreds of hours.
Okay.
I'd like to, yes, this is sort of on topic. This is just anecdotal, but I think that more Latino men and more black men are targeted by the police department than white men in the same way that they go trolling for poor people. And I've seen these prostitution strings on Barson Street when I lived there.
Stings?
I would call it a sting, where the cops, usually they look like half of them are rookies, get together in a room at a hotel nearby, and they plan this thing. And some the women dress up like they think a prostitute would look, but they don't look like Santa Cruz prostitutes, not since Fort Ord closed Santa Cruz prostitutes. So, you know, like there's a lot of white students that live in that neighborhood. But who do they arrest? They mostly arrest people with primarily Spanish language day workers, people that come to that neighborhood and they're part of large families and they get stung because they're hungry for that.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't defend themselves. And they can't see what, you know, sons would have seen. These people can't really be prostitutes. They don't even know how to wear their shoes.
So in other words, you're saying that the whites know enough, these aren't really prostitutes, these are cops posing as prostitutes, whereas the unsophisticated, this is some sort of racist...
Less sophisticated people are more prone to get picked up. I'm not saying, therefore, they're all brown. I don't mean it that way.
Right.
I've seen retarded people get picked up, too.
Nobody ever picked me up.
Maybe they didn't think you were a girl. If you put that together...
Far afield
that's
here.
That's not what my thought forms. If you put that together with, I think you blew that one away.
Well, again, we're talking with Linda LeMaster, Jillian Greenside, and of course, I'm your host, Robert Norris. We had hoped to talk to Ocean Newman, but that good attorney seems to have forgotten us, or else his phone isn't working. Who knows? I will be getting on his case later, see if I can spank him or possibly... engage in other behaviors that might encourage him to call again. Because in Berkeley, there was city council has passed a law, not a law, they passed a series of measures to create new laws that criminalize poor and homeless people, which we want to examine. And they're doing the same thing, sickeningly enough, in Fresno with a camping ordinance. Gag me with a spoon. And we're going to be talking about that on Sunday, maybe even a little bit before the show is over. It looks like the subject of the police department's failure to respond. And the city council and the city manager, he's the big man in the totem pole, of course, Dick Wilson's failure to respond to the rape report of the Commission of Prevention of Violence Against Women, which came out, 20 years ago, and then came out again 1 year ago, and then it came out again 3 weeks ago. I guess we just got to keep trying here or else figure out a new approach.
Now, just to play devil's advocate, if you ask any council member, they'll say, what are you talking about? Of course we responded to it. We had this joint committee. We spent 6 months and we came up with some recommendations that are very specific. It's a very serious issue. Our police chief takes it seriously. Our city manager does. We all take it very seriously. So I think in order to see where that is a bit of a cover-up is to have to be able to ask very specific questions. And that is, what did you do about the findings from the report on rape? Where is the report on rape? Why is it not on the city's website? And then go through some of those specific findings. Why are we still pretending that it's because women report more in Santa Cruz? And why, and that was on the last bit of the tape from that meeting you were playing, is the finger being pointed at the district attorney's office? That is the sort of the throwaway line now. And so it's very easy for them to say they've done something, but when you know the extent of the problem, And when you know how serious it is, they're giving it a token 10, 15 minutes of airtime and never discussing the findings.
I have a suggestion here.
Is what is the issue's all about.
Yes, yep. And I think and in line with that, and I know you want to say something, Linda, but go ahead. I will reserve my comment.
It came out in a very practical.
I can't shut that guy up. Go ahead.
I just can't not get interrupted.
No.
Sorry.
That was our vice mayor.
What I was going to say is it seems to me that while the city council, and in fact I would say most municipalities and governmental entities, have this pass the buck when they don't know what to do kind of comments, that's not untypical. Mm-hmm. In this case, they're referring back to the report and revealing they haven't really read it or understood it by bringing up the DA as their pass the buck guy, because it's already made clear that the police out on the job are not getting enough information to even do an investigation, let alone to help bring about the kind of conviction that information would be useful.
They're not getting enough information because they're not trained to properly seek it out. And they're not getting...
Because it's not the concern. It's not a priority of the police department. And why? Because obviously, from the way they handled this report, it's not the concern of the city leaders.
Well, that's because we know that most women who are raped want it, and it's not a serious issue, right?
I hope it's past that, but it's just as bad.
Well, I think that you've got a germ of truth there, because if their assumption is that most rapes, there'll be a few that stick out that they're raped by a stranger, but if their assumption is mostly it's women who get drunk in bars, et cetera, I think that what that betrays is that old attitude of women putting themselves in dangerous situations. And it's pretty standard where you have a poor police department's response to rape, that is the sort of the overlying attitude. That if we had, I'm sure that the rape of the woman on, when they happened in the outside environment by a stranger, it seems to me that it might be taken more seriously than when it involves alcohol.
But we've seen
alcohol.
It's an 80% stranger rape rate downtown, right?
Right, right. But so your logic there is that they're not
logic
taking it
isn't
seriously.
The issue here in Santa Cruz. It's tourist dollars.
It is tourist
I'm not
dollars.
Sure. I'm not sure what the issue is actually.
That puts a dead fly in the theory that most of the police hours are going downtown, and that's why they can't respond to some of these neighborhood concerns.
With all these police officers downtown arresting people for such things as biking the wrong way on Pacific Avenue, you would think that they would also, be able to do a little investigating of the assaults and rapes downtown
well,
as well.
Let me give you an example, because examples are much, I think, better than just,
By the way, if any police officer wishes to call in, and that includes Officer Zach Friendly, the PR man.
He's not a police officer. He's not a sworn officer.
Oh, he isn't?
No, he's
well,
not.
He's certainly...
He's their spokesperson.
He's a spokesperson.
He's not a police officer.
You want to call in with some friendly advice, Friendly, please feel free to do so. Go ahead.
427-3772. You might remember it in early months of 2002 that there were a number of attempted rapes by strangers. One was behind Logos parking lot, one was New Leaf parking lot, one was in the parking garage up the road a bit. And I had someone contact with me saying she felt she knew who the person was. And she said she didn't want to go to the police. She did not feel comfortable, but I could be her liaison. And she sent me photographs, and I dropped them off by in person to the detective. I called frequently. It took 3 weeks for them to get what they needed from an... I won't go into details because that would compromise privacy. It took 3 weeks to just get basic mug shots of this person, which were readily available. They could have, driven to the other community to get them. 3 weeks. What if that same person had raped other women in the meantime? That, to me, was an example of lackadaisical, don't give much of a damn about this. It's not that important. And I wonder if, for example, and this is if I were Dick Wilson, I'd be like, when they have
our
a suspect.
Our city manager.
Yes, mm-hmm. Thank you. When they have a suspect, do they sort of circulate this picture to, or they have a drawing of a suspect? Is it circulated to other jurisdictions? Do they go and look up at old cases where they're from a stranger and see if the description matches anybody who's recently been described or committed a rape? I don't think that sort of police work is going on.
Well, surely Deputy Chief Saponi would be happy to give you answers to those questions.
Well, I asked that sort of question in the meeting, and I think I said, could you give me an answer as to what we need to do to get our level of investigation up to par?
And her response
was, no. No, she said, no.
No, 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 meaning... meaning
just, no, I'm not giving you an answer.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that meant she just at the time she was
no. That was when she was quite hostile to me.
Oh dear. Well, Patty can sometimes have a bad day, and probably a bad year, in which case we'll have a bad decade, perhaps. Anyway, you're tuned to Free Radio, and in the studio, I mentioned we have Jillian and Linda. We could have you too if you want to give a call. 427-3772. The issue here is the city council's non-response, or let's say police protective response, to the incredible stats that rape is massively on the rise in Santa Cruz between 1984 and 2004, and that we have a reported rape rate four times greater than the state average, which is quite impressive. Now, it could be that I keep thinking those stats, I guess it's the police department point of view, have got to be wrong. There's got send somebody in to check out those stats. Let's see what we can do with that. We don't have a lot of time left, Jillian. You're looking at your notes. I'm afraid you're about to launch into another analysis, which might be good actually. But let's hear more of Ryan Coonerty, our vice mayor. This is the guy who hasn't yet found time to read the Jones decision, the decision which makes it illegal for L.A. police to arrest homeless people for sleeping at night in the Skid Row area during the nighttime, but somehow has no relation to Santa Cruz's sleeping ban, which also makes it illegal for homeless people to sleep anywhere at all, I mean, or even somewhere, if you will, between the hours of 11 and 8:30 at night, and which is punishable by Linda and I checked this out today at the records in court, a $90 fine per sleep crime. We're working on this one, folks. I'll be getting back to you on Sunday with more details, but you know, it's the same old story. Here's some more from the Santa Cruz City Council's meeting as they, shall we say, sidelined, dismissed, and moved right along with the CPVAW Public Safety Committee's, or actually it's CPVAW's report on, you know, the rape crisis, but ho-hum, let's turn it into an annual training session.
I just want to echo Ryan's comments, thanking the staff and the commission for their work. I just have a question for staff and Chair Spencer about former Commissioner Greenside's recommendation on having the city manager be the one that we direct to work with the police department.
That's a former Commissioner Greenside. You actually are getting some credit from Tony Madrigal.
Yes.
Of course, you were the only one who spoke at any length on this issue other than the usual hack bureaucrats who get up there.
Through. I wanted to get your. I wanted
Dick
to ask
for
what y'all thought about that. If y'all feel that
he's
that
asking
would
the council, the city manager,
improve the recommendation and ensure that these things get done, because I am concerned that these recommendations, given the amount of staff that we have, maybe this will make it more of a priority by directing the city manager to work on these. Versus just saying that we direct staff to work on these. So if one of y'all, or maybe Chair Spencer,
spare us the suspense. Did they vote this in and direct Big Dick to take a hand in this matter?
Well, it was his point was confirmed by Councilmember what's his name, Porter. But when I saw the action agenda, like the minutes of the meeting, it included coming back with an FYI from the city manager's office, but it included all the other points that every council member made except the point made by Mr. Madrigal, clarifying that it would be the city manager implementing this. That was not
so implementing, not just FYI.
Not just FYIing, but that it would be the staff was the city manager. No, that was not in the minutes of that council meeting.
Leslie Cook strikes again.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. How she's changed over the years.
I think Ed has a response to that. If
I can respond. And then if
Councilmember Porter.
I'm not adequate, somebody else can add on.
Well, you're not adequate.
We had that discussion in quite a bit of detail. And part of the action of our committee was that on two occasions we went and met with the city manager once to go over the issues and then about a month later to follow up on what progress discussions had.
What about that, Jillian? Did your commission meet twice with the city manager to discuss the issues and then follow up on them, as Ed Porter says?
That was the meeting where I was told that the city manager would not have me at that meeting. And it was, yes, it was a meeting with Ed Porter, the city manager, and the then chair of the commission, Katie Martinez-Greenlee, who asked that I be there because this is not her area of expertise. And I wasn't allowed to be there, and there was no explanation given.
Did you take this issue further and say, hey, Ed, you going to let Dick Wilson cover all this shit up, or are we going to actually get a real discussion going?
When I had the first conversation with Councilmember Porter, he said the police are furious, and they are defensive, and they're outraged, and I'm not going to go down that path of confronting the police. And I said, well, Ed, they're defensive because there's a problem. And it's not as though I'm yelling at them, et cetera, et cetera. And basically, everything was turned around, and it was my fault that I was stirring things up and causing the police that they can't sleep at night.
And do you accept the guilt, Jillian? Do you accept? Do you believe?
Mea culpa. Yes. Mm-hmm. No, they're shooting the messenger. That's all it is. And they're putting in place people who want to make nice with the police, who don't have that depth of experience to know when to say, wait a minute, it's that needs changing. See, nobody, Chair Spencer, the others, they don't understand that this lack of investigation is a very serious problem, because that means women are getting raped more in Santa Cruz because they're not solving the crimes. 42% is the West Coast average, and we're 13. 80% in Milwaukee. That means of all the rapes that are reported, those police arrest somebody in 80% of the cases.
In Milwaukee.
West Coast, in 42% of the cases, someone is arrested. In Santa Cruz, 13.
And the response of Chief Scarry to this figure?
He said in writing that the figure was wrong.
And why was it wrong? Because
He just said that they had a success rate twice the national average, a made-up fact. I mean, not a made-up fact.
You're not suggesting the man in whom we entrust our public security is creating statistics in order to cover his...
Well, it sounded like that.
The point of this show, at least the part of it I've heard here tonight, is that the people who could do something about this crisis and against women are making a point of hiding it.
Yep.
Chief Scarry, if you want to come on the show and refute these incredible allegations, you are given a free invitation because these women are obviously hysterical and for some reason out for your scalp. And anyone else wants to call in and support our beleaguered police department, please do. 427-3772. That includes you, Vice Chief Vogel, Kevin Vogel. Meanwhile, back at City Council, here's more as we kind of round out this hour or this two-hour discussion. Here we go.
I emphasized in the motion
that
there'd be a six-month progress report is that, in fact, the status right now is that the city manager is the person who has to make this stuff happen. He's the only one. And
was Porter's comment put into the minutes?
No, it wasn't.
So neither Ed nor Tony got mentioned there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they should protest. They need at least equal time. I mean,
I didn't hear Ed Porter the way you are. I heard Ed trying to diss or neutralize what Madrigal had said.
Huh. We could review it.
Isn't he the one anyway that it all comes to?
It's going
to
happen anyway is what he's saying. You know, it's interesting. The way the minutes are now written, as you mentioned the last show, Jillian, and Death, I think due to frankly, Rotkin's influence. They don't give the reports, the comments of the public. And Rotkin used to say that they also don't give the reports to the city council. Did the minutes reflect what the council members were saying, or just what they did?
It reflected what some of the council members' points were, like something to do with the city. The district attorney. There are a number of extra points
as
that were
action
made.
Items, or
yeah,
as
it was in the it was in the no, yeah, the motion. Action, yeah,
as motions. Mm-hmm. I see. So in other words, so actually, where they don't mention the city council's dialogue, and that Rotkin feels this is how fair they are. You see, they don't mention the public's dialogue. They don't mention the city council's dialogue. They just mention the action. So we're all in total ignorance as to what the dialogue is, and that's supposed to be a better situation because it saves staff. Time.
Well, we've all noticed in the last number of years an erosion. I mean, it was always a minimal democratic process, but there's definitely been an erosion of that from the fact that there's no summary agenda in the Sentinel, much more limited time to speak, and the recent...
The occasional arrest of the recalcitrant
occasional
speakers.
Arrest, yes, or being let out, trying to save a tree, that sort of thing.
Now, you got let out, too, yes, I remember.
Yes, I've been let out by the officers, but I remember they were trying to make public appeals instead of 20 minutes, which you get, be 5 minutes. Mm. That didn't move forward.
It's to save staff time.
Mm, yes.
I don't believe it's to save staff time.
You don't?
I'm sure staff went along with any time-saving effect. I believe that this is about legal liabilities.
Oh, I'm not quite sure I understand
that. I think that the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women was majorly gutted, and I also thought that it was Fitzmaurice, not Rotkin, that instigated this. Rotkin perhaps showing how the train runs, I don't know, but, erasing people's comments or even names from the city council, that's one thing, but when you do it to a commission like that one, which had in its inherent nature talking about where women are at, it's about feelings in some ways, and erasing all of that and ordering that commission not to put anything other than decisions in their minutes and copy the city council's agenda, I think that was intentional and it was about lawsuits.
We have a caller here. Hi there, caller. You're on free radio?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. Well, Mr. Norris, I can't thank you enough for getting Jillian Greenside on the air. And
go ahead.
And, well, I'm listening to the radio.
Don't listen to the radio.
We can't listen to the radio, no. But I can't thank you enough, and you're doing a real service to the women of Santa Cruz.
Oh, thank
and
you. You can thank her. She's here. She actually came on.
Well, you know, how I equate Linda, the city council is basically they represent the mayor of Jaws. Because they don't want to stop the tourists from coming in. They just want to or deal with the issue of rape. All they want to do is just ignore this whole situation. So I'd like to thank you, Mr. Norris, for doing what you're doing and bringing Jillian Greenside on the radio and really getting to the heart of the issue.
Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
We're going to roll through a little bit more of this, but I'm going to also try to make a quick announcement before we go. You're listening to the Santa Cruz City Council meeting of June 12th.
The chief of police that therefore mandates that he's the one that causes this to happen. So I'm not sure there's any lack of clarity about that. That
so,
is in fact.
So if we're saying direct staff, we're basically saying
staff
direct
is
city
the
manager?
City manager in this case.
So
I think,
then we're,
unless he shakes his head the other way.
He's actually literally the only staff we can direct.
Yes.
That's right.
Well, the
and
city clerk,
Dr.
I guess.
He's out of town.
Leslie.
And then I just had a question about item number 2 and the recommendation about a joint report. It just says that, you know, they would work with the police department would work with the commissioners to create a joint report on sexual assault as soon as sufficient personnel are available. And I guess my big question is that soon enough? Because it's kind of vague as to when that's going to happen. I know that the police department is having a tough time recruiting folks, and we have, 12 vacancies in the police department. So whenabouts is sufficient? And, I guess my question is that soon enough for y'all?
Okay, Mike, would you respond to that?
Well, when we were looking at this item, the police department had no records technicians. And then they had one, and I don't know the exact titles, but people who could actually do the records work. And so that's what this reflects, is that, you know, they can't do stuff with statistics if there's no one to actually collect them. What this says in effect.
All right. Comment on that one, Jillian.
Well, you know, that's for a certain period of time that they did have nobody, but it was a small period of time, and again, it's a matter of priorities. They had people who crunched the numbers through the period that we were developing the report, no question.
And the police responded that when they got a records technician, the first thing they would do is file the mandatory national statistical reports that we have to do to continue to get all kinds of funding. And,
oh, that just annoys me so much.
Mandate, actually.
I wish that Councilmember Rotkin wouldn't speak when he doesn't know what he's talking about. Number one, they don't have to give those reports, and there's no funding that comes with it.
Hi, you're on Free Radio. Go ahead. Hello.
Robert.
Yes.
I was just going to call and say that the police department does have to keep statistics on crime, or they don't get federal funding. They don't get state funding for various crime categories if they don't keep records on it. So their whole thing that they're saying that they don't keep records because they didn't have a person to crunch the numbers is a bunch of bullshit.
Jillian?
Just a quick response. The Uniform Crime Report, which is the national database, and it's just a raw number that goes in of the number of rapes and attempted rapes, is entirely voluntary. Police departments do not have to do that. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, they have to keep track of crime.
Oh, yes.
Or they don't get funding from the state and from the feds. Because they can get money for, like, you know, a gang problem, which the Santa Cruz denies it has.
I know, and
they could get funding, you know, for this rape problem, which Santa Cruz denies it has.
You're absolutely right. I even gave Deputy Chief Saponi a grant website where she could apply for a grant to improve investigation of sexual assault. No movement there.
Right.
Thank you, caller.
All right.
We talk longer, but I got 2 minutes left, and I got to announce that at the next show, which will be coming back on Sunday at 9:30. And I hope you'll be coming back again, Jillian. We haven't finished with you. It looks
Thank
like we're
going
to have to go it again. We haven't gotten to the end of the tape. There's going to be a special expose of the Santa Cruz Pleasant Care Home, slated to close. No one is listening. This is by Tim Rumford. Mm-hmm. You can go to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz to read about it. Although the mainstream media has not noticed yet or simply does not care, one of the few remaining low-income centers in Santa Cruz for the aged and disabled is slated for closing, Pleasant Care. Unless a miracle happens between now and July 2nd, it will close. The courts and the corporate offices all agree on the chances of this facility staying open being more than slim. The problems of lack of beds for a poor disabled and aged is already such a horrible problem. The county has largely ignored it. The root problem is the system itself, and only real local leadership in sync with money and national policy change will have any large-scale change. July 2nd, unless there's a buyer, and apparently the buyers have already had to qualify. So it looks like, according to Tim Rumford's research, Santa Cruz Pleasant Care is closing. 222 beds are out the door. They're going to be a 2 or 3 month interval, and then everybody will be out of there, and it's quite a horrible situation. Tim will be on the air if his reporting is accurate to talk about that at 9:30 on Sunday morning when I'll be coming back. I'm going to try to play up to the very end of the show here, but I think in a moment we're going to have Uncle Dennis from the Cream to the Dregs coming in for the next 3 hours, and hopefully that'll be a welcome change from this heavy stuff. I'm going to give you both a chance to sum up. Linda, Jillian, what do you got to say about this, and are you going to be coming back to finish the deadly June 12th tape?
Well, I would love to come back. Thank you, Robert. And just picking up on a couple of threads, it feels very good to be able to, like, get the word out. But I think you're right. There needs to be more organizing going on. I mean, when we have our local rape crisis center saying, oh, the police have been so nice lately and not really getting involved in the report, everybody doesn't want to confront the power of the police department, it seems, except those of us who seem on the margins. So we have to do more organizing, and I hope folks, if they're listening, pass the word on to your friends.
How can people do more organizing? Got a number they can call if they want to get more actively involved in this?
Well, they can call me at the university's 459-2721. And take this issue into the groups that you're already working in. Try and get others to be concerned, because it warrants headlines in the paper, just as I started this evening with the report from Portland, Oregon, about their problem, which is chillingly similar to ours. Front page of the paper with the police chief and the mayor saying we're going to do something about it. So we've got a serious problem in Santa Cruz of a cover-up.
Linda?
I would just add to that, you know, there was a time when the city of Santa Cruz was a leader in public and social policy, mm-hmm. and now it kind of like, it seems to go out of its way to like not be the leader, not to take initiative, and I don't just mean on homeless and feminist concerns, but this is just how I see it these days. And so we're going to have to do things ourselves. I would like to, and I'd be happy to work toward some sort of a public safety meeting
government
of the
public.
Government
as well.
That was Mike Rodkin, but pay no attention to him.
I hate being interrupted by him.
So go ahead. So finish what you're saying, Linda.
I would be happy to help work towards some sort of setting which would be appropriate and safe for women, public meeting, just held by the general public, a grassroots movement. And I hope that wouldn't be the end, but rather maybe the seed for getting heard. I just can't stand living in and depending on a town that's now standing on the people that they said they would protect.
And if I might just add, there is still the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, and it seems to me that, I mean, there's some good folks on there, but they don't want to touch this. I mean, they feel now they're not discussing the findings of the report either. They're not reading the report. So we could go to the meetings and hold them accountable.
When is the next meeting of the CPBAW?
They usually meet the first Wednesday of every month at 6:45 in the City Council Chambers, but that means it's July 4th. I believe they're meeting on Thursday, July 12th. Yes. For the month of July. Otherwise, it's every month, once a month, first Wednesday, 6:45, City Council Chambers.
Jillian, could you take a few seconds and tell us about how we got that unique commission in the city in the first place?
Well, it was 1981, and a small group of folks, I was working in this issue, and we thought that this was important and bring it to the local electoral level. So enough signatures were gathered that the council had the choice of putting it to a public vote or creating the commission and the ordinance that created it. So the council decided, I think there was only a couple of nays, to create the commission. But you know, when I got back on the commission, what I was trying to encourage all the other commissioners to realize was it's a powerful ordinance. It says preventing domestic violence and sexual assault shall be one of the city's highest priorities. That's powerful stuff. There's a lot of power. And nobody can change that without a vote of the people.
Yeah.
So we have the power, we have the instrument, we just don't have the public yet.
Well, public, get into it. 427-3772 is the number to call in on Sunday when I come back. 423-4833 is the number to call off air. And again, Jillian, your number is?
459-2721.
Hey, thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. Now we have Uncle Dennis from the Cream. Or should I say, from the dregs to the cream. Well, that's one way of putting it.
Fat and docile, big and dumb. They look so stupid, they aren't much fun. Cows aren't fun. They eat to grow, grow to die, die to be et at the hamburger fry. Cows well done. Nobody thunk it, nobody knew. No one imagined the great cow guru. Cows are one. He hid in the forest, read books with great zeal. He loved Che Guevara, a revolutionary veal. Cows say tongue. He spoke about justice, but nobody stirred. He felt like an outcast, alone in the herd. Cow doll drums. He mooed, we must fight, escape or we'll die. cows gathered around because the stakes were so high. Bad cow pun. But then he was captured, stuffed into a crate, loaded onto a truck where he rode to his fate. Cows are bummed. He was a scrawny calf who looked rather woozy. No one suspected he was packing an Uzi. Cows with guns. They came with a needle to stick in his thigh. He kicked for the groin. He pissed in their eye. Cow well hung. Knocked over a tractor and ran for the door. 6 gallons of gas flowed out on the floor. Run, cows, run. He picked up a bullhorn and jumped up on the hay. We are free-roving bovines. We run free today. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns. Crashed the gate in a great stampede, tipped over milk truck, torched all the feed. Cows have fun. 60 police cars were piled in a heap, covered in cow pies, covered up deep. Much cow dung. Black smoke rising, darkening in the day, 12 burning McDonald's, have it your way. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns. The president said, enough is enough. These uppity cattle, it's time to get tough. Cow dung flung. The newspapers gloated, folks sighed with relief. Tomorrow at noon, they would all be ground beef. Cows on buns. The cows were surrounded, they waited and prayed. They mooed their last moos, they chewed their last hay. Cows outgunned. The order was given to turn cows to whoppers, enforced by the might of 10,000 coppers. But on the horizon, surrounding the shoppers, came the deafening roar of chickens in choppers. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Oh, oh, oh. Cows with guns.
And Uncle Dennis here on a Thursday night. Free Radio Santa Cruz is the place where you and I both are. So, anyway, stay tuned. Plenty of music coming up. From the Cream to the Dregs, the name of this show. And runs until right around 11 o'clock tonight. Coming up in half an hour, we will open the Brew of the Week. And 9 o'clock, the Earth First Update. Then at 10 o'clock, we have a very special Spotlight Group of the Week for you. So stay tuned for all of that. So if we're called from the Cream to the Dregs, why don't we start off with Cream?
times of an old moon I'm young. Thank you.